Hello and welcome back to Lessons Learned. I'm Amelia. This is episode 5 and I'm kind of really anxious about this episode because this was like a weird period of my life, and it wasn't even that long ago. It was last summer. I'm going to be talking the period I'm talking about, but we're talking about the motel, and like that's the title of this episode. And by what I mean by that is like I had to live in a motel with my daughter, basically in extreme poverty in this area, and like it was a strange period of my life, and it's gonna be really weird to talk about, because it's still, like, it just happened, right? But I want to go through everything and kind of just tell, like, my perspective on, like, that world of being in that, very vulnerable, like, part of my life, I guess. Yeah, it's going to be really intense, but I'm just going to just tell what happened and also kind of tell a little preface as before that, like, what happened before I got to the motel, what I was doing, like, at the beginning of COVID and the pandemic and everything, which is also kind of intense, like, the environment during that. But we did our best to make the best out of a bad situation, no matter where we were. And sounds so cheesy to even say, like, 2 minutes into this podcast. But, like, oh, here it is, Amelia Joy. Like, haha, we get it. Amelia Joyce. Like, I always make a positive out of a negative, right? Like, that's my whole mantra at this point. But I've had to. It's kind of like a coping mechanism. And it's a good one-ish, kind of. Like, it can be a little extreme. People get really, sometimes, like, frustrated with it. It's like, no, like, some people, like, there's no positive side. I'm like, but there is! Like, it's just, but I know that I do have days, though, where I see no positive side. So I 100% understand not seeing one. Especially at, like, I was living in a motel with my 4-year-old, so that's a pretty low point if you ask me, right? So right there, like, you should just, like, my mindset going into that was pretty heavy, because, like, I had to prepare mentally and, like, everything, like, physically, I, you know, like, and I had to kind of, not shelter her, but, like, kind of, like, to say we're moving there. And she did, like a week into it, she asked if we were gonna be there forever, and I said no. This was just until, like, we found a place, like, so she knew it was just, like, kind of, like, temporary, because, like, this isn't the first time we've had to move. So, she is used to it, which does suck. Hopefully, one day she's not. But, I really hope it's, like, now, you know? Anyways, I'm gonna go through, like, the beginning of the pandemic, because that's when that all, like, that's how this all, like, kind of spiraled into that. And, so before the before March of last year, which is crazy because it's March now. I keep seeing those memes on Twitter and Facebook, and I think they're funny, and it's like, we literally, like, didn't know this was our last, like, free week, and we had no idea, like, you know, and, like, it's March again, like, it's March again, it's really March again. And so before that, I was living at the transitional shelter with my daughter Lily, who is 4, and and I was working and I was going to school. I was working at a thrift store at the time. And then, yeah, going to Laurier. This was last year, beginning of pandemic. And right before the pandemic started, so like the middle of March of last year is when the pandemic started. And when we were like in lockdown and like quarantine everything to the extreme level, is when like I stopped working at the thrift store, obviously. And then we went into like full down, like we had to like go by the like public health regulations in the transitional shelter because they have like the staff has to go by public health regulations. So all the COVID screening you see now, I've been doing that since last year, like for a year, every day when I woke up for both me and my child. And the mask thing, so as soon as that became like a thing, the residents had to wear masks in all common areas. And then by that, I mean the kitchen as well, and the dining room and the living room was like not, it was off limits. And then even in the bathroom. So like, imagine being like cooking and eating and like going to the bathroom and having to like wear a mask, and like, you can don't have to wear one in your room. But yeah, it was just like, I'd be cooking and like, it was really hot. And like, I had to wear it a long period of day. And my daughter, thank God, didn't have to wear one. They didn't make her wear one. They obviously like the bus system did, but not, the place we were staying at. So I was thankful for that, 'cause I was like, the adults had just had to wear them. And it was really intense. So like, when people at the beginning were complaining about like going to a store for like 20 minutes and having to wear a mask, it's just like, ha, like, it was just laughable to me because I had to do it for like hours, possibly, because like, depending on what I was doing that day. So a really intense environment. And also because of COVID, because at the shelter I was staying at, the transitional one with her, they had to basically not let us move out because it could, like, you know, like Ontario, like lockdown, like all like evictions and like anything like that. You had to basically like stay where you were because they didn't want to spread the virus, right? That was the whole thing. So so they had to like, you can only stay like at a time up to a year. And we ended up staying there the second time for 16 months because of COVID. And like the extra like five months were wearing masks all the time in common areas. And by that, I mean, like, and people were get, like, barked at by staff if they weren't wearing their masks properly. And, like, it was a really intense environment. And, like, also, it became a more, like, the worst part is it became more, like, an institution where, like, because of the public health regulations, we had to do kitchen time slots. So it kind of felt like we were in jail, but, like, it was worse because we were, like, imagine jail, but, like, you're with your kid. Because, like, you... Basically, kitchen time slots means they put your name in it, like, in a different time slot, whatever, in, like, a group. And you have 30 minutes to cook and eat something. It was not very, like, doable for me. And there were a lot of people who were, like, not with, like, children to take care of. And, like, they could just, like, you know, live off of like pizza pockets and waffles, and like that was good and like good and fresh, you know, like I understand, and like it's good and fresh, I love that life. And but like for Lil, it's just like not the same. And like to cook and eat something in 30 minutes is very, very difficult for like a family, like dinner or like lunch or whatever. And it was very difficult. That was probably the most, because it felt like a more like an institution, and I was actually like being institutionalized at that point, and it was really weird and like very like triggering for my childhood of like having like because my family used to kind of like look down on me because I used to like take a long time to eat, and that's just because I like to enjoy food or whatever, and they'd like rush me because they ate really fast because they have like high metabolisms and they just eat it up, whatever. And I have like a low one, and like I just like to like chill and eat my food, whatever. And at like we were out to dinner, like I would have to take it home, and it was always like always this thing with me. They were always like kind of like rushing me, whatever. It's like, oh yeah. And it just like kind of like triggered me from that, because like it's like I can't even like, and I didn't really eat all of the meat. Like, I made sure that Lil ate in that 30 minutes. That was the main goal. Sometimes I didn't. So, but I always made sure that she did. So, even, like, it was just, like, so insane. And then, like, the mask thing, and, like, me cooking with the mask. It was just, like, and, like, take, like, giving her a bath and like, having a mask. And, like, you know, it's just a lot. A really intense environment. And then, yeah, at a certain point, Ontario lifted, like, the whole, like, evicting thing, evicting policy, and we had to go into the most, because at that point, Lily and I have only stayed in transitional, like, women and family shelters, okay, at that point, from that, like, point, like, July, okay, July 2020, and is when, like, from that, like, that's the last time we stayed at a transitional shelter. But August 1st, we had to move into the emergency shelter system, and that was, like, the most, one of the most intense days of my life. Like, moving into the motel, and, like, while she's in, like, like, it was just a lot, and, like, especially, like, just, like, cramming everything into, like, the back, like, thank God I had, like, a back, like, corner that was big enough near the, like, tables and, like, microwave and fridge that, like, had all the room for our stuff. And, like, I had bins, like, Sterilite bins that I had bought. So, I fit a lot of stuff in there as much as I could. Like, a lot of her books and stuff. Like, her books and my books. So, that was, I was in our clothes and everything like that. So, I was really thankful that, like, it wasn't so bad in the inside of the room. And we had two beds and, yeah, a bathroom for ourselves. And Lily could watch television if she wanted, and I set up, like, on the table, we had a table, and I set up, like, a paint and, like, drawing area, because she likes to draw and do art and stuff, so set up a little area for that, and she thought, yeah, she had questions, because she's four, and she's curious, and obviously she's seen us go through a lot already, so she's obviously questioning it, especially now, because she's more aware now, right? She's getting older, so she's actually seeing things for what they are more and more. And she gets curious more and more and asks questions about it. It was just, yeah, it was really intense. And how it worked was, okay, so you're probably wondering why I was living in a motel if I'm in the emergency shelter system. If you, like, obviously you don't really know how it works if you've never done it. So there is an on-site, like, women and families emergency shelter in the area, in the city that I live in, but it became, like, a safety issue because of the things, like, going on and, like, that were prevalent on-site of the emergency shelter that was for women and families. So, and, like, also, like, capacity and stuff like that. So they ended up, like, doing, like, rooms in motels under the emergency shelter sector. So we were staying under the emergency shelter sector in a motel room and in like an intense like housing market rent search program with like a housing worker, and we would go to like viewings on market rent together kind of thing like every other day. So and then we were there for 2 months, August 1st to October 1st. And it was a really, like I said at the beginning, it was a really intense period of my life. And we were in poverty at that point. We've always been in poverty in some level, but like this was a pretty low point of poverty, one of the lowest for me. Not actually, like, it's definitely tied with like when she was one. I don't know, like, it's a toss-up between that and this one, but the motel was definitely intense because she was older and she was more aware, and she was, like, had to go to JK for the first time in a motel. So that was, didn't really want to have to do that, obviously, but it came down to doing that, which really, I made the, like I said, a best out of a bad situation, and she still went and I'm glad she did, because she loves all her friends there and her teachers. So, like, I don't even question making that, like, I don't think that was the wrong decision. She, like, needed not to be at the motel all day, you know. It was good for her. That was her first, like, she's in JK, that's her first year of school. I still treat it like it was, like, the best day ever. Because it is, like, that's a big day for a child, like, that's, so yeah, I still treat it for what it was, you know, and just, yeah, even moving in was just so intense, and, like, seeing the environment there, and, like, the difference between day and night, was very intense, both were pretty bad, but night was obviously worse. And all I would really do was just sit outside out of my room and just, like, wait for Lil to fall asleep. I think I mentioned before that Lil has a hard time falling asleep when I'm in the room, so I just sit outside, like, our bedroom until she falls asleep, and then I go back in and then sleep in my bed kind of thing. Because she gets distracted by me because she loves me, so she doesn't want to fall asleep because she knows I'm there kind of thing. So, but it was, yeah, it was very, like, different between day and night. Like, and, like, the staff was an interesting bunch of people. And they also ran the motel that was also right next to it. Like, they owned both of them. And they would, like, hop between both. Like, they'd hop back and forth. It was very strange. And actually, a few, like, literally 2 months after I moved out of there, not the motel I was at, but the one that they, the other one that they owned right beside it, someone, a woman, was murdered there. So, she died there in a room. And I'm just so glad that I got out of that as soon as I could. I'm just gonna say that, because that's really scary. But, like, that's just really intense right there, right? And, yeah, there's just, like, a big, like, a lot of things going on. And I'm a very, aware person, and I'm very aware of my surroundings, and, like, people. And, like, there was definitely, like, a life there, you know, like, the life. And I became aware of it more and more as time went on, like, the life that these people have, like, it's literally, like, a lifestyle, and, some people very much enjoy it, and it was very scary at some points, to see how people can treat others, or good and bad. I was shown a lot of compassion by people, but also there was a lot of scary moments too. And at one point, I did have to stop sitting outside. Because there was a few, like, rough points that happened where I was sitting outside that, I just, like, couldn't, I felt it was unsafe for me to be sitting outside anymore. Just even for, like, a half an hour, which is all it was really, like, half an hour to an hour that I'd be sitting outside, that just stuff would happen or stuff that I would see that I just couldn't, like, handle after a certain point. And there was also a rough point that happened. I want to go through, like, the main ones, because there's a lot. Like, it was 2 months. But, like, the really, like, intense things that happened, there was always, like, deals going on that I could see, like, going into each other's rooms and stuff, and a lot of trafficking going on, drug and human trafficking. So I saw both kinds of trafficking, and it was really the life, you know, like, I saw it, and day and night, it was a thing, and, like, police would just, like, circle the parking lot to make sure things were okay, and then just leave, like, on a daily, multiple times a day, to make sure, because these two were the hot, like, these motels were the hot spots for crime, like, these are the, like, where people go for this lifestyle, and, like, this gain, and, like, really, like, an addiction to something in some way. And it was very scary that my child had to be around it. And that's why I tried to, like, shelter her from it. And, yeah, I had to, at one point, shelter myself from it and go inside. Like, I was like, okay, I can't sit outside anymore. Like, this is too much. I remember at one point I was on the phone with my best friend and we were on FaceTime, and I saw, and I was on FaceTime with my best friend every night because it's a very scary situation to be sitting outside in you're in a shelter, essentially in an emergency shelter with your kid, and there's people doing drugs. I've had people, like, lean on my air conditioner, and I'm like, you need to leave this area because my child's sleeping inside. Get away. And he's like, okay. The kind of thing, like, I had to make sure this area was not, like, why are you even hanging? Like, you know, just please. I was nice to people who were nice to me, but people who were, like, trying to cause harm, it was just, like, not a good time. But at one point, I did see a group. I was on FaceTime with my best friend, and I saw a group of young men, like, pull up with 2 cars, and they had, you know, things in their hands, and they were looking for someone. They eventually did find him, and they, like, beat him until he ran away. And there was, like, I don't know, like, 10 of him and, like, 10 of the other people and one of him. And they had other, like, they had things in their hand, like, big items. Like, I didn't even know what they were, like, I don't know. And I was on FaceTime with my friend, like, seeing this, like, 20 feet away from my hotel room door. 20 feet away from where my child's sleeping. And I was just like, whoa, like, geez. And it gets worse, actually. So that happens. I see that, and I'm just, like, kind of, like, in shock, like, and I went, by the way, the people who rolled up, they parked, like, near me. I should have mentioned that they did park near me. They, like, they didn't park, like, where they ended up beating up the guy, because, like I said, they were looking for him. So they were parked, like, literally, because they saw that I was sitting there, like, one of the, whatever, and he, one of the people who wasn't in the fight but it was, like, one of the drivers, he asked me if I could watch his car at one point, and I was like, yeah, I'm just sitting here on FaceTime. And he's like, okay. And then that, like, the whole fight happened. And my best friend is, like, seeing me see this, and, like, it's just, like, so insane. And after that happened, they go back to, like, their cars, you know, that they came in. And the guy, the main person comes up to me, and then all of them come up to me. And he goes, are you, like, give me your phone, like, and I was like, what? And I was, he's like, are you recording? Like, give me your phone, like, delete your videos right now. And I'm like, I didn't take any videos. I'm on FaceTime with my friend, like. And then as soon as I say that, like, all of them surround me, and they tell me to show them, like, the camera roll. I'm like, I'm on FaceTime. And then I show them my camera roll while I'm on FaceTime with my friend. And then they went to the deleted whatever. And then they're like, hey, check Snapchat. And I was like, I didn't even have Snapchat downloaded on my phone at that point. I'm like, I don't even have Snapchat. And then I went back to my FaceTime with my friend, and they're like, she's on FaceTime. She can't even record when she's on FaceTime. I'm like, I just said that. And they're like, okay, you shouldn't, like, you can't do that. And I'm like, can't do what? Be on FaceTime with my friend while you're having a fight 20 feet away from me? Like, what do you mean? I'm like, that's my friend. And he's like, still. And I'm like, no, like, I live here. Like, what do you, like, you don't live here. Anyways, they ended up leaving, but it was and they, like, touched my phone. Like, they scrolled through my camera rolls, and, like, they were all hovering over me while I was sitting down. I'm really thankful I was on FaceTime with my best friend at that. Like, whoa, it was a really intense thing. And, like, things like that, like, that was the most intense, one of the most intense things. But, like, things under that spectrum happen, like, all the time. And, like, I just see, like, some really, like, weird things go down. And, like, people are always, like, saying hi to me, and obviously, and, like, people are really nice. There really was some nice people. Shout out to Frankie, who had a pet cat, and she was so awesome. And she was, like, this, like, older lady, and she was really nice, and we would always have nice conversations. Shout out to her. She was awesome. So there were residents that were really nice, but there were residents that were really mean. And there were some that were obviously judging me for having a child there, which I understand. But at that point, like, okay, so imagine someone having this, like, they have to stay at a motel because they don't have anyone else, friends or family, to, like, stay with, like, with their child. They've stayed in, like, transitional shelters, and, like, they've met, like, all those, like, things, and, like, they reach, like, a point where they can't stay in that, and they have to stay in an emergency one. And, like, at the end of the day, someone who's listening probably has someone who they rely on for financial support. I don't have that. I don't have my parents, I don't have family members, I don't have a partner, you know, like, whatever. But, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't rely on anyone else besides, like, the government, which doesn't really count as a person, counts as the man. But, like, I don't have anyone to fall back on. So, the motel was, like, only option for me to find the place that I am now, to get that help, because that's the only way they would help me, is if we were in the emergency shelter. They wouldn't, the intense workers wouldn't help me until I was there. And it was very prevalent and known to me about that fact, after living in the transitional shelter system for so long. That's the only way that the intense workers will actually get down to business and actually help you. Is if you're in the emergency sector and you're in an emergency situation, especially if you're a family. In a transitional shelter, they're just kind of, say you're not in an intense situation enough, apparently. I don't know. But after that, after the whole incident with that, and just like there was a lot of weird people and like weird things that would happen, and I decided to stay inside. So instead of going outside when she would sleep, like be falling asleep, I would go in the bathroom and wait for her to fall asleep. And that's kind of been my mantra now, is just going, I'm literally in the bathroom right now. So, so it's just a thing now. It has good acoustics, if anyone wants to know, really good acoustics. It's better than being in that environment at night though. Like it was really bad. And it's just really intense. And like I said, my child had to be around it. And like, people would judge me. There was a lot of residents who would judge me for having my child. But at that point, like I said, I had no support. What was I supposed to do? Where was I supposed to go? That was the only option for me. Like I said, I don't have anyone to fall back on when it comes to like that kind of thing. So that was the only like route at that point. And I truly believe that, because like look where I am now. And I did have like some like system failures along the way, where like I felt like I have like a lot of like service trauma. Like, and by service I don't mean customer service. I've been in customer service. I mean like social services, and like workers and like housing workers and like all that stuff. Like there's some good ones, but there's some bad ones, and I happen to have like both in my lifetime. And like there's some who really are doing it because they care and they want to make a change in this messed up world of ours, but there's some people who are real, they are only doing it because they're getting a paycheck. And it does really suck when you see it, like, for your eyes, where you know that they don't want to go that extra mile because they just don't want to work as hard, you know, and, like, or as passionate or intense, whatever. But I'm really thankful that there was another worker in that realm that did help me that wasn't even my worker. But she was a friend of mine's worker, and but I had seen her around, but they were in the same company, like business, not business, but like social services building, and they did the same job kind of thing, and they were just basically an intense housing worker to get you a market rent search intent. Like we just like pumped out a whole bunch as much as we could, essentially, until someone accepts you. And I ended up finding this place we have now. And the only reason I found this place is because of the other worker, not the worker that I had. And I don't really want to like bash anyone for like how they should be doing whatever, like, because everyone has like a different perspective on life and like how they should be doing things and like, you know, what have you. I think everything happens for a reason, that like there was like good and bad to the situation, obviously. I learned a lot about people for sure, and like treatment of people. Like even if you're treating someone kind, it doesn't really matter, because someone's still gonna like, and even if like you're in like a certain like supposed to be an understanding role, you're still not understanding of the situation, which is like the whole point. But there were a lot of compassionate people that I've met in the social services realm that are very passionate about what they do, and also know and want to like find out different ways they can help us, you know, and like go that extra mile for us. But there's some people who just want to do the bare minimum and like get paid, like I said, which really sucks that I ended up with that one. But the other one knew me, so that's good, right? You know, that's, like I said, everything happens for a reason. And maybe I didn't get the worker that I like who helped me, but it's okay because she ended up helping me at the end. She even like was there with me with my worker at the viewing. Like they both came, like she was there early actually and was already talking to the landlord when I got there, like the one who's not my worker. And then me and my worker showed up at the same time and we went to the viewing. And this is probably my like two hundred viewing in my life. And it was just kind of like another one, you know, like DJ Khaled kind of thing. And another one. So that's how I was kind of like thinking as my head, because everyone tends to not want to rent to me because they're looking for a different type of person where they don't have a 4-year-old, you know, they're looking for like a bachelor, you know, like a single male or like a working couple, you know, they don't want a family living there, especially with like a lot of places have like stairs and like, what if she falls? I'm like, she's had stairs her entire life. I don't really think that's a concern, but okie dokie artichokey, you know, there was just like always like, they didn't want to rent to that. They'd be like, there was a lot of people who, you know, it just sucked. So it was just kind of like, that's what I had always, and I was just kind of like waiting for that one. And I didn't think this was going to be that one, but ended up saying yes to it and signing a lease. So that says something, right? And it's a bachelor apartment, and that's why I'm in my bathroom right now. And it's like a bachelor for a family, you know, like, and I wouldn't really have it any other way. Like, the motel was scary, man. Like, it was not a fun place to be, or like, it was not fun. Like, it was not, especially like with my kid, I would have like this like arm bracelet. We called it our friendship bracelet. It was like a ringlet, and like it just like Velcro. And like, I would, if we were taking the garbage out or anything, I would like me and her would be like, have this friendship bracelet on. Like if she, like if we were outside at any point, she had that friendship bracelet on. Like, I was not letting her be very far from me in that environment. Like, it was just, even if it was just scootering around, because she has a scooter, even if it's just that, like, just, we always had the bracelet on, even if it's just taking out the garbage. Like, I just didn't want anything. I'm a very cautious person, you could say. I'm a very kind of like be careful kind of thing. I think it's better to be safe than sorry also. And I didn't want anything bad to happen. Like, we had made it so far, and like, I just didn't want it to go worse than it could have ever been, you know? And like I said, it was a scary day-to-day life I had to living there. Like, I would, in September, she started going to school, so we lived there from August to October, right? So for the last month, I was there during the day by myself, and I would go to university on Zoom, you know? And then, like, you know, just, like, tidy up or like do groceries or and like stuff like that and like whatever, and then go and pick her up at 3 o'clock. And so she would go to school from 9 a.m to 3 p.m and it was weird. It was kind of like weird, but like I was definitely glad that she was there. Like, even, like, the staff was very, like, odd people to, like, but they were still very, like, nice to me, and, like, it was just, like, very, like, eerie, kind of, like, on edge feeling, kind of, like, being there. Like, you never know what's gonna happen, and it's, like, like I said, a lot of intense things happened, and not even just one, like I said, the fight. Probably the most intense thing that happened was I had to call the police. That was probably the worst thing that ever happened. It was about 6 a.m. and someone knocks on my door. And like 6 a.m., like we're sleeping, like we're dead sleep, right? Someone knocks on my door and I answer. Cause I'm like half asleep, like not even really thinking. And this guy at the door, I don't recognize him. I don't know who he is. He starts talking about like someone like taking something from him, and that like someone like in this room that he like knows, because obviously people have come and gone out of rooms, whatever. He's like, where's so-and-so? And I'm like, I don't know who that is. Like, whoever you're looking for doesn't live here anymore. Like, I live here now. Da-da-da-da. Like, I'm explaining it to him. And he's like, no, like, you're lying. Like, please just give me back my, like, $1,000. Like, it's not going to be worth anything to you. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, I need to go. Like, and then I, like, just, like, I'm like, goodbye. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. And then I close the door, and then he knocks again. And then I'm like, you need to go, like, my kid's in here, like, she's sleeping. He's like, no, there's no kid in here, like, turn on the light. I'm like, no, like, and then I slam the door, and then he starts knocking harder, and he's just, like, begging me to let him inside, and, like, give him his, like, things. Like, I don't even know what he's talking about. Like, I literally, like, I just, like, shaking. And then Lily wakes up, and he starts trying to, like, boot in the door. And that's when I call 911. And she's awake, and she's asking me what's going on. And I said, someone's knocking at the door. And I just hugged her. And then I was calling 911, and I was explaining to her, and like the 911 operator like could hear Lily like, you know, scared and like basically crying. It's really scary because he just didn't stop. He just kept going. He just like, I could see the door. Like, motel doors are not very thick. So, like, you could see the light, like, coming in, like, where he could, like, almost, like, get in, you know, like, he was booting it in. He was trying to. And, yeah, I just called 911, and, yeah, they sent the police. Especially because my daughter was, like, there and, like, in that room and scared and, like, so the police came. I don't really know what happened after that, because, like, I think it's just kind of, like, a regular day. They didn't want to bother me, especially because my kid had to sleep. But they got him to stop, and he never came back again. So it was really scary, and I can't even imagine how scary it was for her being that young and seeing that, because I'm 27, and I think that's really scary to see. And I can't imagine being 4 and seeing it. You know, that's, like, really intense. And, like, she still is affected by it. If someone walks by, she, gets scared, and, like, she's really scared of strangers. And, like, even someone just walking by our apartment, or someone coming to the, like, main door into the building, because we live in an apartment building, and she hears the main door sometimes when it's, like, really quiet, and she'll be, like, and she'll get scared even hearing that. Or someone's talking outside of our apartment, she'll ask who it is. Just, like, things like that. Or if I even, like, go, our mailbox is like 2 feet away from our door. If I go to check the mailbox, she literally will cry sometimes. Like, be like, "Mommy, where are you going?" Like, she has, I have to be like in eyesight, you know? It's just small things like that. But I know that she's still like, she always has to like make sure that I'm there. And like, even when we're walking, she'll be like, I always like ask her if she wants to hold my hand or not. And sometimes she does, sometimes she doesn't. And sometimes she'll be like randomly, and most of the time she does, especially we always have to do when we're crossing the street, like that's the rule. But like on the sidewalk, it's like kind of like her decision whether she is wants to or not. And sometimes she'll be like, "Mom, I need to hold your hand. I don't want a stranger to take me." And I'll be like, "Well, like, it's just like things like that." I know that like she's still, she's a very cautious person like me now, because we had to be, like, we had to have that mindset of being cautious and being careful and making sure that we were always safe and make sure that we look out for not only like basically ourselves, but we are looking, also looking out for each other. Even though she is 4, I was mostly looking out for her and making sure she was like kind of like in as safe as bubble as she could be. And that, and like inside the motel room when I had my, like, it was locked, it was safe in there and like inside, but like outside of that door, another story, you know. Inside and outside the door was like a completely like different situation. The like the main thing is that we're safe now. Like, even though we're living in the smallest place that I've ever lived in, we're safe though. That all that life isn't happening around my child anymore is the main thing. Like, that's the main thing that like I was worried about at that period of my time, was that she was seeing all this at such a young age. Like, and I'm glad she didn't have to see nightlife, obviously, because she was sleeping. I couldn't even imagine. But even being around that, like, energy at such a young age, like, it's just so intense. And, like I said, a lot of residents would look at me like I was not a good mom for being in the situation. And, like, that's okay, like, to have that mindset. And, like, to kind of, like, root for me to fail. And I've always had people around me kind of rooting for me to fail. So it's, like, nothing new to me, you know? I just kind of, like, brush it off. Because I know I'm not rooting for myself to fail is the main and most important part, is that I'm not rooting for myself to fail. I want myself to succeed. And that's the mindset I always try to put out, so I do succeed and get out of, like, get good things out of bad situations as best as I can. And even if it's a bachelor with my 4-year-old, we were sharing a room for 3 years, like just a bedroom, you know? Now we get like a kitchen where we can cook and for more than 30 minutes. You know what I'm saying? There's no like restrictions, and no like life or like people that you have to deal with, like different residents or people you have to live with in a transitional shelter, for also like different personalities. You get to just be with you. I get to just be with my daughter and I, just me and her. It's just me and her now in a place. It's not anyone like, one, dictating it, or two, all the personalities and personas I had to deal with in the shelter system. I don't have to deal with any of that anymore. Of like the toxicity of it all, especially toxicity around my child anymore. That was the worst part, is it had to be around her. I don't really care about myself, because I've always had to be around toxicity, and like I'm trying to get out of it, but she had to be around it at such a young age. But I'm glad it's like over now, you know, and we're safe now. We're safe, like, finally, like, for the first time I feel like safe and stable, and like know that we're like sheltered, you know, and like in all like definitions and retrospects of the word, and like we're loved and like fed and all of those things, and like I feel secure in that, you know, which I haven't felt in a long time. And I'm even if it's a small place, we're like still so happy. We're so happy because we have each other and we're like positive for each other, you know, like we build each other up and we do things together, and like I teach her right from wrong, and she grows along the way and learns along the way, and so do I, like, and I just think that that's like the best way it should be, and it has like, and I'm so thankful, like I had to go through, like, the fire to get, like, the rings of fire to get here, though, like, because, like, I wouldn't have the same perspective. Like, I feel like if someone's had, like, a really, like, luxurious life and, like, a good, like, life where they haven't really, like, seen, I was on the streets, basically, with my child, essentially, that was the equivalent. I was in, like, poverty, extreme poverty, so like, but someone who's lived a very luxurious life, I feel like they could never understand like the perspective that I've lived, you know, like of like having to worry to get by and like security and like also like not having anyone to really guide you. Like I didn't have family members, like healthy family members to guide me through any of this. I just had to figure it out and pick up puzzle pieces along the way just for Lily's sake, mostly, you know, and for my sake. But I think it's only like up from here. Like I truly like believe that it's up from here, like, and I've put into that mindset that it is, because I want it to be. I truly like want it to be. And like I said, we've come so far now too, like, and I think we deserve the world, like the absolute universe, and she does mostly. And I want to give that to her, like where she doesn't have to worry about if she's loved, first of all, or even just like emotionally secure and like that she's cared for and like that I want to spend time with her, you know, that like I'm proud of her, that I think that she's a great human, because I didn't feel like that when I was growing up, right? But like I make it known to her that like she is the best person in the entire world, and I love her the most out of anyone in this like whole planet. And that I think she's the most special person that there is. And I can't wait to see, like, who she's going to be. And, like, she can be anything she wants. And she's so smart and good at so many different things that I don't even know what she's going to do. And she can literally, sky is the limit. So it's, like, and I want to make sure that she knows that she really can be who she wants to be, and I will never judge her for it. I never felt that within my family dynamic, that I could be who I wanted to be and I wouldn't be judged for it. I felt like I had to kind of hide who I was, which sucked. Sucked real bad. But like from this point, I just want to do the opposite, you know, like I want to go up from here. I think I could do so much more with my life and like spread so many messages to people from the experiences that I've had, you know, like even just this podcast, like talking to people about like things that I've gone through and like how they can relate, and like messages I've gotten from people are like insane and like really heartwarming, and people like talking about how they can understand. And their story, like, I've read some stories people have messaged me, and, like, they're all so beautiful, and, like, it's really nice to hear that people, like listening to me talk about, like, a topic that I have trauma about, basically, but they also have it as well, and, like, they can relate, and it's really cool to know that people can get something out of my stories and, like, the lessons that I've learned. Oh my god, it's so cheesy, but, like, seriously, and, like, some mistakes that I've made, and, like, I feel like I, like, everything that's happened to me so far in my life, it's all just brought me to this point. And I feel like it's just, like I said, sky is the limit, not only for Lil, but also for me, you know? I feel like I can do anything, too. I feel like if you put your mind to it, you can literally, like, rock the world. And anything you want to do, you find something that you're passionate, interested about, and you just go for it. And you just, you're like, I'm going to do it, and I know that I can. I can do, like, just have the mindset that you can do anything. And then you'll be able to do anything that you put your mind to, you know? And I really want to, like, spread that message to anyone who struggles, like, who's ever struggled, like, with any, like, especially, like, with poverty, or any, like, financial troubles at all, like, not being, like, financially stable, like, it's not a fun time, and, like, being in situations where it's not, like, the greatest, and it's only because you're not, like, in a good financial situation. Like, I don't have, like, even child support coming in at all, and I have sole custody, and I get no child support, so it's just, like, all, and I'm no parents either, so to, like, help pay for anything, or a partner, which I don't really care. I would rather, like, work hard and, like, do something I'm, like, passionate about for the rest of my life and, like, do it on my own than, like, rely on, like, someone, like, basically, like, manipulating me and, like, toxic behavior and then, like, getting, like, support out of it. And it's just, like, ugh. At some point, like, obviously I'm open to, like, partnership, but, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I would just rather, like, work hard. And, like, I really, like, not, like, I wouldn't say the word jealous is a bad word, but, like, kind of, like, wow to people who have, like, it's just so, like, kind of, like, heartwarming to me when, like, they have, like, their parents, like, there for them and, like, even, like, emotionally and, like, financially and, like, anything like that, like, just, like, there for them. I think, like, at some point, like, there has to be, like, a certain point, but, like, I feel like you should be helping, like, your young children, like, emotionally, and, like, your young adult children emotionally and financially still, because they're still, like, a big kid at heart at that point when they're a young adult. When I was, like, my early 20s, when I had Lily when I was 22, you know, didn't really know too much about, like, anything, and I feel like, yeah, like, there should definitely be, like, a grandparent parental role at that point, especially, but there wasn't for me, unfortunately, so I just kind of had to wing it and have no, like, parental financial support to fall back on, like, at all, or emotional, like, support, like, it was just nothing, you know, so I my friends are kind of, like, my family, and Lily's my family, obviously, you know, like, we're there for each other, and, like, we love each other, and I have my friends to support me also, and, like, we're there for each other, and we send each other, like, positive vibes, and, like, surround each other with positive energy, and, like, that's all you could really ask for when it comes to, like, people you surround yourself with, and, like, your inner circle. I, like, have learned that I don't want to surround myself with, like, negative people or people who are like trying to like drag themselves down and then in the process drag you down. And like, there has to be a certain point where you have to like love yourself more, you know, and love my child more, obviously, and be like kind of like past it, you know, where you just want like positive energy around you instead of like self-destruction. And you just kind of want to go up, you know, like Shania Twain kind of thing. So I just think that it's just gonna go like, we're not gonna be in a bachelor forever, you know? We're gonna have a bigger place and we're just gonna go up from there, you know? So this was a really like intense episode, and I can't even begin to like fathom, because it was so recent, it's very fresh. I can't even begin to fathom how I even survived that with my toddler. I don't really know. I don't. And I also did it with my best friend down the street from me. She was in a different motel, but it was the same. She was in the same, like, shelter as me. So that was also interesting. So at least, like I said, like, friends are kind of like family. Not like, they are. And I don't even, I'm glad I got through it, though, and that we came out on the other side. If anyone wants to, like, talk to me about any of this topics, you can message me on my socials. The main ones I'm active on are Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Instagram is Emilia Joyce, so EmeliaJoyce, and then TikTok and Twitter are Emilia Joyce's, so Emilia Joyce with an S at the end. If you want to message me and just like anything, if you just want to tell me like that you related in some way or that I've shown you a different perspective, like that is even awesome too, you know, like if I've helped you in any way by even telling my story, is awesome to hear. So you can do that. And I really enjoy doing this podcast, and I'm looking forward to the next one. So I'm signing off now. Thank you for listening. This is Radio Lori, and this is Lessons Learned. Emilia Joyce signing off. Bye, guys.